The Doug and Wolf Show.
The next 4 hours of your life will be outstanding wherever you are if you keep listening to The Doug and Wolf Show.
You're calling your shot.
I'm
right
calling my shot on today's show.
Doug Franz, Ron Wolfley.
You know that's good radio.
Oh, yeah.
Doug and Wolf, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Ladies and gentlemen, yes indeed. Index finger into the air. Flash the one, hour number one of the Doug and Wolf Show. Savages in the morning on a Cowbell Friday. Gather around the transistor and press the ear as you slide on them Jordache Janes and cinch it up real tight. Break out that neon comb from the back pocket. Look at yourself in the mirror and brush back that fine feathered hair. The party is not going to be the same without you, ladies and gentlemen. Punch it!
Everybody's working for the weekend.
Oh, it's Friday on the Doug and Wolf Show. Savages in the morning on a Cowbell Friday. Bang that thing if you got it, ladies and gentlemen. That's it. Command and control. Are you ready to bang the cowbell? Because we all need more cowbell, of course. Are you ready? Oh, Douglas, give it to me again. Oh, it feels good to be broadcasting on a Cowbell Friday, a tradition here on the Doug and Wolf Show. Savages though we be, somebody pass me the cowbell. Good morning, Douglas.
Hello.
Good morning, command and control. Basinonians, we say good morning to you on this momentous Friday. Oh, a Friday in October. You gotta love it.
I think everybody that is a hardcore listener to the Doug and Wolf Show is dying to know the answer to this question.
What is it?
What was Ron Wolfley's Daniel Jones moment?
When he fell down, of course. It was everybody's moment. Running, he looked
very
athletic. He was running, and then boom, just an incredible moment, was it not? That's going to be shown for years.
How is it not? Just like immediately,
it
immediately became a GIF with you know, caption this, and there's millions of captions already that are fantastic, but the only one from just a purely sports standpoint, and I'm sure 80% of you saw it, but so many of you are such hardworking dudes, you had to go to bed early and you didn't see it. Daniel Jones breaks off an 80-yard run, clear sailing into the end zone, and I have to tell you, he fell so hard. Ooh. I thought he tore his ACL or had a hip flexor problem or something. The fact that he wasn't injured was so shocking. Wait, how did you go down then? It was such a bad fall.
Carpet monster.
For no reason. And just the laughter that ensues. And for me, the caption is simply the NFC East. I mean, when you that was game was horrible. That's for three good quarters. There's this terrible division
goodness.
The Eagles now claim first place at 2-4-1, I think, is their record.
Here we go.
That was just to me NFC East when Daniel Jones goes down.
Yeah, just that is a great way to say it right there. NFC East to caption that right there. But it was so athletic. It was great. He looked so good. And then the carpet monster, that's what we used to call it. It all suddenly tripped and stumbled fell. You know what? But I like what you said earlier, just the fact that for three quarters this game.
It's trash. It's awful.
Oh, my goodness. Was it not bad ball?
So bad.
Was it not bad ball, Basin audience? Oh, it was bad ball.
I'm sure you heard this, Wolf, but well before the game, Larry Fitzgerald spoke to the media. Just when you think there's no way this man could impress the world any more than he does. He was asked, how's this year been for you? And the question has everything to do with these numbers are terrible for Larry Fitzgerald.
Right.
And what is he old? Is he not getting open? Kyler, why are you inaccurate? Coach, what are you doing not establishing Larry Fitzgerald, especially in the red zone? I mean, just the question alone has 500 kind of tree branches that could sprout off of this thing. And listen to where he goes with, how has this year been for you despite your poor numbers?
It's been a great year. I've been fantastic.
You know, it is what it is. You know, my kids are healthy. I'm healthy. We're winning. You know, it's great. I have a job. You know, something that 35 million Americans can't say right now. So I'm privileged and honored to be able to still have something I can do. And you know, when my number's called, I'll answer the bell like I always have.
Wow. Oh, he just doesn't get it. You know, I mean,
come on.
It's Larry. It's the reason why he's on a first name basis with so many people, especially in this state. It's Larry.
I feel for those of you that don't have a job. How can I complain? Man. That's what that was.
Honestly,
From the heart, boom, there it is.
I'll vote for Larry. I'm writing his name. I'll vote for Larry right now.
I mean, man, every receiver in high school and college football, please understand, there's a correct bias against you as a receiver because you're a diva. 99% of receivers are divas. We don't know why.
I wouldn't say 99.
Okay, 98.
I think that's
98.7.
No way, that's high.
I'll go 98.7.
I'm going to go 88.
And to me, not very many people agree with me.
Maybe 70.
But that is the greatest receiver of all time, and he sounds like that. And if you disagree with me, the number one guy is Jerry Rice, and he normally sounds like that too.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's funny the way that happens.
Isn't that, exactly. Exactly.
Just an incredible moment right there. But it's Larry. I don't know.
I'm still surprised by that level of humility and the quickness behind it. It's got to be from the heart when you're able to go from your touchdowns are non-existent.
Yeah.
Your seven catch days are gone, and I don't know that it's your fault.
Yeah.
Therefore, this is a bad year. No, it's not. It's a great year.
It's a great year, as a matter of fact. My kids are healthy. I'm healthy. We're winning.
And I have a job in a pandemic.
Ba-dum-bum.
Wow.
And now, it's time for your Arizona Sports Starting Five.
Class, Ben.
You can't go to work without knowing these five huge stories.
Class is important.
Here's Doug Franz and Ron Wolfley.
Good morning, Vince.
Number five.
Number five this morning, the Big Ten starts tonight. Well before, of course, the Pac-12. This is Commissioner Kevin Warren.
The key challenge is remaining healthy. I think that's the focus for everyone to remain healthy and really to remain disciplined in following the policies and protocols that have been set forth by our medical task force and doing everything that we possibly can.
So Wisconsin hosts Illinois tonight. And just so you know how far behind the Big Ten is, this is the tiebreaker. If the average number of Big Ten teams fall below six, then the teams must play no longer than two fewer conference games than the average number of Big Ten games played by all teams considered the league championship. The champion will be determined in each division by its winning percentage, unless there's an unbalanced schedule. If two or more teams have the same number of conference losses but a different number of wins, head-to-head results will... There's two more paragraphs. They're that behind that they've got to have the biggest convoluted tiebreaker ever.
Yeah, that's right. Next!
Oh, okay.
Number four!
Daniel Jones.
Try to run faster than I was running and got caught up. So we finished the drive, scored a touchdown. So that was a relief to me for sure.
Yeah, it had to be a relief right there, right? Daniel Jones picked up his play in that fourth quarter because for three quarters, abandon all hope, ye who enter here.
You know, in a cheeseball forced fantasy,
yeah,
I picked up Boston Scott going into my game with Vinny.
Oh, my goodness.
Last play of the Eagles game.
What?
Touchdown.
What a throw.
What a throw.
What a catch.
You're exactly right.
Number three.
World Series. Rays versus Walker Buehler. Rays manager Kevin Cash.
Look, he's got the big fastball similar to like Garrett Cole. I'm not comparing him with Garrett Cole. Just saying that, you know, with the fastball, the way he pitches at the top of the zone, the ride that he gets through the zone at 98 to 100 miles an hour.
He's good. So's your guys. I still believe winner of game three wins this series.
Why are you not comparing him to Garrett Cole?
Wow, that's a good question.
What does that mean?
That's a stick. By the way, 5 o'clock, a little bit after 5 o'clock, first pitch. You can hear it on ESPN 620 AM or right after Burns and Gambo here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Or why did you compare him to Garrett Cole?
By saying you would.
Number one.
And the number one thing you need to know about this morning.
We like playing with bright lights. All right, let's play ourselves into a lot more of these games.
They just did. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Y'all ready for this?
You don't mind me saying, just by hearing the music, Al Michaels today at 9 o'clock.
How about that? Al Michaels, ladies and gentlemen. The legend, Al Michaels. Now that's producer.
You aware of where he went to college?
I believe it was ASU.
You are correct. Very good.
Interesting.
Al Michaels, arguably the greatest broadcaster of all time.
Recall happens from time.
11 seconds. You've got 10 seconds. The countdown going on.
You will never find, if you want a little secret into the show,
yes,
I guarantee you there are no human beings born in the 90s that care more about the 1980 U.S. Olympic hockey team than Maloney.
Why do you say that?
I don't know. Okay, I mean, getting to know her knowledge of the 80 Olympic team,
right,
her love of that team, and, you know, I have that love, but I was born in the early 70s. I vividly remember that as a kid. It took me years before I knew I didn't see it live.
Yeah.
I assumed I saw it live as a kid, but you didn't know that the game was actually early in the afternoon or early, late morning or something like that, and they didn't show it until that night. But in those days, there was no Twitter. You had no idea the U.S. had just defeated the communists.
Yes.
You go all day, and then you find out afterwards, and supposedly the party had been going on in Lake Placid all day.
One of the greatest moments in professional sports, and I do count the Olympics as professional sports.
At least it was for the Russians.
There's no doubt about it, Douglas. It was, you better believe that, behind the Iron Curtain, Commie Red Joe, they were getting paid.
So what have you accomplished in your last 40 years in the business? Because Al Michaels is still doing Sunday Night Football 40 years
right
after the United States Olympic.
Al Michaels, when is Al 9?
9 o'clock this
9
morning.
9 o'clock, Al Michaels.
We'll talk to him about Sunday Night Football, and it's a strange story.
We like playing with bright lights. All right, let's play ourselves into a lot more of these games.
Yes,
all right, that night game. I can tell we like this moment. Let's play ourselves into more of these games, all right?
That's thanks to AZ Cardinals and their Twitter account with the speech from the head coach after Monday Night Football. And it's okay. It's not. There's nothing wrong with saying the Cardinals got flexed into Sunday Night Football. It's kind of being anal to say, no, they didn't.
Well, it's not technically flexed.
But if you want to be specific, it's not a technical flex. It's too early for a flex. I didn't know this, but in the contract with NBC, there is a guarantee there will be a Sunday Night Football
I
game.
See.
So Tampa Bay's traveling to Las Vegas, and there's massive issues right now in Las Vegas.
It's not a surprise that the Raiders game was moved thanks to the entire offensive line being sent home after being determined to be a close contact with Trent Brown, who tested positive over the last couple of days for COVID-19. The thought was that the NFL would potentially move it up, maybe Monday, maybe Tuesday, as they've done. That did not happen here. Instead, it went from the Sunday night slot to an afternoon slot. And basically, my understanding here is that if there are more positive tests for the Raiders over the next couple of days, it makes it easier to move being in the afternoon slot rather than the night slot. It gives the NFL flexibility and allows them to make some health and safety-based decisions on the Raiders-Bucks game.
There's a big-time investigation going on. Trent Brown wasn't wearing his proximity device at all times in the facility.
Mm.
On top of that, the Raiders were already in what they call the intense protocols. And during intense protocols, you have to wear a mask as you play the game in practice.
Wow.
The offensive linemen were seen on the sidelines not wearing their masks.
Wow.
So, and I mean during practice. So because of that, they're in the strictest form of protocols. So five of their offensive linemen have to test every day, quarantined away from the facility, and their last test is Sunday morning. And they have to pass all of those tests to play Sunday afternoon. And the NFL was like, with the protocol, we're not changing the protocols for
right,
you.
Okay.
And now we can't guarantee that you're going to play Sunday night.
Wow.
So they took the Raiders out of Sunday night. Then they looked at the schedule and they said, okay, what's the best game? And what I'm assuming is CBS must have thrown a fit, because I think game number one is Titans Steelers. And that didn't get moved to Sunday Night Football.
Okay.
And then after that, I think they said, you know what, Fox, we've given you a couple gifts so far this year in moving your games to Monday night and things like that. So we're taking your game, and the best Fox game by far was Cardinals Seahawks.
See, I look at that. Yeah, absolutely. I look at this right here, and I think, behold the power of name recognition, winning records, and competing comps. Those three things. That's why I think they chose this game. I think about it. I mean, that's the gift that keeps on giving the whole year. Relevance. And now all of a sudden, if you're going to replace that game, and that would have been a good game right there, the Raiders and the Bucs, that would have been a good game. I mean, I say would have, but I'm talking about for Sunday night. I know mm-hmm. they're still going to play it, obviously. I'm just saying for Sunday night, that would have been a game they would have loved, right? Tom Brady.
Oh, yeah.
Just stop. Bruce Arians.
And don't forget, it's Tom Chucky. Brady, John Gruden, Tuck Rule. So, and whenever they get together, you have the storyline there, too.
Absolutely, right? But now this is also a very appealing replacement game, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is.
Kyler Murray and Russell Wilson. DeAndre Hopkins, DK Metcalf. Larry Fitzgerald, Bobby Wagner. Patrick Peterson, Tyler Lockett. You've got the most explosive offense in the league going up against maybe the most explosive offense in the league minus the drive killers. Right? It's just I
would
this,
tell you,
man.
Though, you went through matchups. This isn't why they chose the game, but I can tell you as you build storylines, there's no doubt.
Oh, yeah.
There will be a DK Metcalf Andy Isabella storyline.
Oh, they want the storylines. They want the storylines. Never forget that. But anyway, to me, the biggest storyline, the comps. And who is the comp? Who comped whom, ladies and gentlemen? Kyler Murray and Russell Wilson right there. I just can't get over it, man. These two guys. This is the future of the National Football League. Russell Wilson and Kyler Murray. A quarterback that is 5'10 and 5'8". And 5'10 and an eighth, respectively.
Wait, one of them's not 5'10.
5'10 and an eighth.
Then there's the other storyline that no one can explain.
It's been weird with the Seahawks, I mean, because we've been winning up there consistently, and they've been kicking our butt at home. And, you know, I can't think of any other time in my career where that's happened. You know, we would love to play better against them at home. I remember, you know, last year walking up the field, hearing some of the guys talking about this is a home game for us, and you know, I didn't particularly sit well. You know, when you hear things like that, you know, because you always want to protect your home field, and so you know, we got to play better. We have to play with you know a level of intensity that we had last Monday, and you know, we got to play. We got to match those guys because they always play with high intensity.
I think this move to Sunday Night Football only benefits the Cardinals. I don't like the way this team through the years consistently has these big lay and egg games against weaker opponents. And this is the type of thing where you take a game that you were already going to be up for, and you have a team that does seem to rise up and down instead of just, I hate losing, I want to beat you, to I want to be seen winning. And it's almost like the Scottsdale mentality. If all of you in Scottsdale are huge Suns fans when they're winning, when Steve Nash is there, Amari's there, and everything's exciting. But as soon as it gets bad, why am I going? You know, it's the want to be seen crowd. And that's the way I look at exactly what's going on with a lot of Cardinals players over the last few years. And now what just happened? It just got elevated to a Sunday night. So if you don't take care of your home business, everybody sees you. And you have to back up your primetime performance. If you get slaughtered on Sunday Night Football, you're a fraud for Monday night. It becomes more of a Dallas storyline. All you did was beat Dallas. You're not really that good. Now you have a chance to back it up.
Yeah, listen, I don't know if I agree with everything you just said.
Well, you should.
It's fine if you have your opinion. That's great, Douglas. To me, I do believe this is a team that has a personality. And every team does have a personality. And this team's personality, I do believe, is that it plays up to competition. It plays up to competition. It does. I mean, I'm expecting the Arizona Cardinals to put together one of their best games in all three phases. I do. I expect that. The pressure just got turned up, though. Make no mistake about it, Basinonians. The pressure just got turned up. This is going to be, for a young team that is coming together, that is 4-2. I'm not talking about the Seattle Seahawks. I'm talking about the Arizona Cardinals. This is going to be a still point game in the season. It could pay huge benefit and huge dividends, or send them on a different course.
You could be half a game out of first place in the toughest division in football with the tiebreaker in hand, or you could drop down to a game and a half out, no tiebreaker, and you're fighting for your playoff life the rest of the year.
This is going to come down to the fourth quarter. It's going to come down to the fourth quarter.
Coming up next, there are peak players at every position in the NFL. Is there a chance the Cardinals have one? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. I mean, you got to go real far to find something more irritating than the Seahawks, but you just did it, Mitchell-palooza. Does anybody mind if I demonstrate the old-school forearm shiver upside Mitch's head?
Love it. Good morning, Paulie.
No.
Flash the one, Paul.
It was a good morning.
Number one.
I got a one finger I'm flashing at Mitch right now.
Oh, we play Paulie. Loverboy for you, you complain. We play a little Peppers for you complain.
Jeez, we all wonder why the Cardinals can never match the Seahawks' physicality at home every year, because on a football Friday, Doug and Wolf underwhelm and make sure the Cardinals go in unprepared.
Are you going to bring some Nirvana, Paul? Is that what you're going to do right now? You're just going to go for the jugular?
Do you want me to tell you about the one time I saw him in person? Do you want me to tell you about that?
No, knock it off.
The year was...
No, I don't want to hear it, Paul.
Okay. Sure about that?
Yeah, you and your Alice in Chains story, too. Yeah.
Twice. No, Alice in Chains was twice.
Don't want to hear that.
Right after this, I'm going to have a breakout session in the newsroom. Anybody wants to hear my stories about those grunge bands?
All right, Paul.
By the way, did the Seahawks should come in, honestly, with jerseys made out of flannel, don't you think? Instead of those stinking neon green jerseys, we've long said.
They're not wearing the neon green, are they?
I don't know.
That's no, I'm happening. Sure the Cardinals will wear dark jerseys.
Yeah,
so Seahawks
it's not one of those color rush deals where they both wear dark jerseys, right? I don't know. I don't know, Sunday Night Football, who knows what they're doing at this point. It's 52-card pickup, I don't know.
Paul, what was your life like in your own dark times? Like, what did you listen to?
He had some dark days, too.
Doug, stop
it. If you don't believe me, just look at the Caesar picture.
Okay.
Just look at the Caesar cut with the chain around. Just look at that. There were some dark times for Paulie, too.
Tell me if you consider this a compliment. If we would ever tell you... Here in the Auction Community Studios, we think Paul Calvisi has the personality of a sniper. How would that go?
His personality is like a sniper. You know, he's very, very chill, laid back. But he can have that aggression. He can show that aggression when he needs to, but you don't know where it's going to come from.
Now, Paul, I got to tell you, in quiet moments here in the Auction Community Studios, the way Wolf talks about you in a bar fight, that sounds very similar to what Patrick Peterson just said about Buddha.
Yeah. That's right up there with my dark days, okay? So once again, this show, we get peppers, but we don't get the polygraph around here. Somebody please play as a – you get the right? Oh, my goodness.
Paulie, you know what? Honestly, Paul's the Wolverine. I've said that many, many times. Don't corner Paulie.
This game
come out swinging.
This game is all about the diminutive American, is it not? Whether it's Buda Baker, whether it's Russell Wilson, whether it's Kyler Murray, the snipers in this game are some of the smaller dudes who are going to decide the outcome of this game.
Well, he's the highest paid safety after his new contract. And then word got around, I think, after Dallas game nationally of how good he is. Listen to how far Patrick Peterson takes it in explaining what he does for all of safeties.
He's almost like the Aaron Donald of defensive backs. You know, people always talk about how small Aaron Donald is and how he's able to get the leverage and how he's so strong to stand another. It's just the low man wins. You know, he's the smallest guy on the defensive field. I mean, on the field 9 times out of 10, and the leverage that he plays with, 9 times out of 10, the low guy is going to win the battle, and 9 times out of 10, he's going to be the smallest and the lowest guy. So it's just with him packing that big punch and also playing with great leverage is what helps him be in great position all the time and also make great contact.
The Aaron Donald of safeties.
I mean, that's a ding, right? I mean, if you're called the Aaron Donald of anything in football, yes. Then that it's sort of like it reminds me. Remember DJ Humphreys told us the story in the Big Red Rage of the first time he ever went against Aaron Donald. And they got out on the field for the first series. And he said, I looked over there into the Rams huddle. I'm like, that dude's tiny. He's all, I'm going to smash that guy. Mm-hmm. And then they snap the ball, and they realize he has about the strength of 10 men, and it's not quite that easy. And that's sort of Buda Baker. You look at him, you're like, are you kidding me? This guy's a hard-hitting NFL safety, and then boom, upside your head, he comes at you at 100 miles an hour.
It's incredible. I was talking about this yesterday. Paulie, did you see the Brian Baldinger thing that he did on Buda Baker?
Oh, no.
Just Google it. Go ahead and Google it. He took about 5-6 plays from the game against the Cowboys and said, look at this guy right here, right? The velocity that Buda Baker can generate in a short area. I'm talking about attacking on a tackle. There are some guys who go up and they just tackle you. You know, they want to just make sure they get you down. And then there's other guys that tackle you and want you to feel them, so to speak. And that is Buda Baker right now. Buda Baker is exactly like that. Mitch, I can hear you actually talking into my ear. I have no idea what you're doing, but I can tell you right now that Buda Baker accelerates into the tackle. That's what makes him so effective. And you watch guys who get hit by Buda Baker. They go backwards a lot of the time. That is an incredible trait for a guy who's what, 203 pounds?
Well,
Maybe.
We talk a lot going into this game of DK Metcalf versus Andy Isabella, okay? And that miss by Steve Keim. Well, it's easy to forget, and I admit I did until Brock Huard was talking to Burns and Gambo. Pick number 35 in the 2017 draft, pick number 35, is by the Seattle Seahawks, Malik McDowell, defensive tackle.
Uh-oh.
Pick number 36 is Buda Baker for the Arizona Cardinals right afterwards. Mm. And Brock was asked by Burns and Gambo, does Seattle regret it?
Yeah, and in fact, in that draft, that was the beginning of some disasters for John Schneider and Pete Carroll as far as some of their drafts go. And they traded down multiple times, and as they did, they said no to T.J. Watt. They said no to Kevin King. They said no to Ryan Ramczyk. They said no to Cam Robinson. They said no to Buda Baker, and they drafted Malik McDowell, who has never played one snap, nor will he ever.
And then we've all talked about Peyton Manning to Andrew Luck. Did you ever think of this transition, which the Seahawks would have had?
Reminds me in many ways of Lawyer Malloy, a guy that I played with in Seattle that just had a burning desire to be great. And, man, that's one that he would have been a seamless transition from Earl Thomas. That would have been seamless in so many ways. Probably wouldn't have had to trade 2 first-rounders for Jamal Adams and try to search for Earl's replacement because he was right in their own backyard.
Going from Earl to Buda.
It's that last part right there. Buda's a Seattle guy.
Mm-hmm.
He was training with the Legion of Boom when he was at UW. He was training with Earl Thomas and Richard Sherman.
Do you think there's a chance he could be there, Terrell Suggs?
Yeah, that's a great comparison. No, it
I wouldn't
really
have thought of it until
is.
You brought up him growing up there.
Because Malik McDowell was an absolute disaster.
Yeah.
You know, Michigan State there, Rob Fredrickson. I mean, he was a complete bust coming out of East Lansing. So,
Freddie,
that was terrible. Oh, my goodness.
You know what I love, too? Buda Baker right now, as we all know, he got his first interception, right, in Dallas.
Yeah.
And if you go back and you look at the tape base underneath, it really was cool. Really, really cool. It looked like they were playing two safeties high with man coverage underneath, and he jumped that route. I was talking about it the Tuesday morning. He jumped that route big time from that half safety that he was playing, that cover two safety, and that, to me, I think is a harbinger of things to come going forward.
Right when you thought there was no way Larry Fitzgerald could do anything else to impress you more than he already has, he did.
That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Pretty boy football.
Everybody's going to have their opinion no matter what.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
You got D-Hop, you got Larry, Christian Kirk, the running backs, Kingdom, Chase, even the tight ends.
I mean, we have everything that you need.
This offense has the potential to be the best offense in the NFL this year.
Doug and Wolf talk Cardinals. Now.
Feels good, man. Go with stuff that annoys Paul when he's on and then bring out the Metallica when Paul's not here. Oh, good morning. In an hour, your exclusive conversation with Steve Keim, general manager of the Arizona Cardinals. That's coming up 7:45 this morning. About the enormity of this game, the honor it is to get moved to Sunday Night Football and everything that entails. I don't know how you're feeling this morning. I don't know how life's going for you, but at least you've got Larry Fitzgerald here in Maricopa County, in which he answered a question yesterday that is just, again, it's one of those moments where you think you know Larry, and he does something even more amazing. It's not as amazing as the times he has surprised healthcare workers with meals. It's not as amazing as the joy he's brought other people. That's totally behind the scenes. There are still things that Larry Fitzgerald has done in the community that people don't know about. I've been told about a couple of them, and I don't feel comfortable sharing them because nobody said, hey, go, feel free to do that. But he is constantly a guy where you say, this man's unbelievable. And this is one of those times. If you have looked at Larry Fitzgerald's numbers on this season, not only are they well below average, they're nowhere near great. I mean, you compare his season this year to the seasons of old, it's not even close. If I was living in another city, I admit I would be saying, wow, he's old. Now, watching it, I don't blame him at all. There's just something that the chemistry isn't there, the accuracy of the quarterback, maybe relying too much on D-Hop, although, you know, is that really a problem? But right. there's just times where Fitz is open and not getting the ball. But it is, so when you're close to it, you see it. And yet Larry, despite all the poor numbers, says this when asked about how his year is going with these poor numbers.
It's been a great year. I've been fantastic. You know, it is what it is. You know, my kids are healthy. I'm healthy. We're winning. You know, it's great. I have a job. You know, something that 35 million Americans can't say right now. So I'm privileged and honored to be able to still have something I can do. And you know, when my number's called, I'll answer the bell like I always have.
This is one of the great things about Larry Fitzgerald. Not only is he one of the classiest individuals you're ever going to come across, right? But the guy has a heart, a guy that has a way of loving people outside of the game. I say this all the time, ladies and gentlemen, I really do, right? I mean, you hear me talk about stepping outside those white lines and treating people better than yourself, loving people and respecting people and treating them better than yourself. Think of Larry Fitzgerald when you hear me say that every time, because this is what he does. It's not just a situation where he talks it. He also walks it. And it's one of the reasons why I love the guy and respect him, even though he's from Pitt.
Then, going more strategically on Larry Fitzgerald, for a guy that makes his living catching the ball, what does he say about running the ball?
Well, when you can control the line of scrimmage and you can run the ball, and not even, you know, for big games, but if you can continue to average 4.5 yards a carry, you force teams to be able to come out of the split safeties. And when you get teams playing single high, it gives your playmakers on the outside opportunities to make plays and get those one-on-one matchups that everybody, you know, dreams to have. And, you know, the way Kyler can run the ball and Drake and Chase, and when you can do that and control the line of scrimmage, it makes the game much easier in the passing game. So when we were having success last year and when we have success, you know, even this year, is because we've been able to run, and that sets up the pass. You look at the big plays we were able to make on Monday, they were all set up because, you know, we were able to make some good runs and, you know, forcing teams to be able to put the extra man in the box, and we got to continue to do that.
What Larry just said right there is the Arizona Cardinals need to continue to pour their foundation, their base. There's got to be a base. I mean, is this? I love this because this isn't me saying it based on some old guy. This isn't me saying it. This is Larry Fitzgerald. Larry Fitzgerald. Now, is he still playing? The last time I checked, Larry is still playing in the National Football League, and he just said, here's the key. You got to go ahead and be able to run the ball so you can get teams out of two safeties high. And now all of a sudden, close the middle of the field and one safety high. So to me, it's just, I love hearing this because this tells me it's still truth in the game of football.
I thought
you got to run it.
I hope you enjoyed it as a listener. If you didn't, it's at arizonasports.com, or you can go and simply be a subscriber to the Doug and Wolf podcast to hear guests like Brian Greasy yesterday. He was on the Doug and Wolf show. Now, he is the color analyst of Monday Night Football. So he just got done seeing film of the Cardinals preparing for Monday Night Football and then watched Cowboys Cardinals. And we asked him, just fill in the blank, what's the next step for this Cardinals offense? And how easy is it to go Kyler's accuracy, mixing in more fits, connecting with Andy Isabella more often on deep shots? There's so many ways you could go with that question. And what does he say?
Well, I think it's to continue to run the football. And I think, you know, listen, they're going to be tested, right? You know, Seattle two times in the next month. And you're going to have to run the football. And it's not so much as a production on the offensive side, but to protect your defense.
Think about that right there, what he just said.
Cliff, are you listening?
I just continue to say it. I will. I will continue to say it right now. There can be no alpha without the betas. There can be no chi without the chung. There can be no abnormal without the normal. You've got to establish the fact that you will run into the pile. And you know what? Doing it three times and a half is not going to cut it. It won't cut it. You've got to run the ball and be willing to run the ball into the pile, just like they were in that second half. When you think of that, now listen, I realize they had a lead. I know they had a lead. But in the first half, Kenyon Drake had 6 carries for 18 yards. They were running into the pile. They were running into the pile right there. And then his carries went up because they started to experience success and because they were built and leading by 28 points. They started running the ball, and that's great. But I think if they start running the ball sooner in games and commit to that, I actually think it will impact this offense in a positive way. That's just me. Cliff Kingsbury knows what he's doing, ladies and gentlemen. This guy is really bright, and he's really good when it comes to an offensive mind. But I think he needs to learn and experience running the ball and doing it earlier might actually have greater impact in a game.
You know what I think a listener should experience?
Five-star games. Five-star games.
Oh, I knew
five-star
it.
Games.
I knew it was
five
coming.
Games.
I want you to know
the
that.
NFL's best games with Doug and Wolf.
Brought to you by Fry's. Fresh for everyone. Shop now at friesfood.com.
It feels good. It feels good to be ready for this, ladies and gentlemen. It feels really good, even though it was a shock that it was this beautiful part of the program.
Because it's never been at 6:54.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen,
before.
Yes, indeed. Here we go. There can only be one five-star game. There's a lot of four-star games that are out there. I would say the Arizona Cardinals and the Seattle Seahawks, a four-star game. Yes, I would say that. But the only five-star game, the Pittsburgh Steelers at the Tennessee Titans, baby. You better believe it. Two teams that are very, very similar to each other. Great defense. Run the ball. Big plays coming off of play action. Who's tougher, the Steelers or the Titans, King Henry? And that is your five-star game.
Five-star game with Doug and Wolf.
I could watch the Tennessee Titans offense for the rest of this year and be okay. I absolutely love it. A bit of a throwback, is it not, my brothers? a bit of a throwback, yet there is a mixing, a smattering of the new that is involved. Isn't that right, Ryan Tannehill? Oh, man. Line up and suck the other guy's beating heart right out.
You won't believe this one.
We're not through.
Oh, that was the wrong button. I didn't want Vince right there.
Oh, no.
Only four players have ever had three games of 200 yards rushing and two rushing touchdowns. Jim Brown, Barry Sanders, LaDainian Tomlinson, and Derrick Henry.
Are you ready to say Derrick Henry is one of the four greatest running backs of all time? I mean, minus Walter Payton in that list, would you say Jim Brown, Barry Sanders, and LaDainian Tomlinson would make a pretty good backfield in the Hall of Fame?
Honestly, my Aunt Edna is gasping.
And the only person that's ever done 200 yards rushing and two touchdowns twice in their career are those four men. You have to include Derrick Henry with those three?
Take the handkerchief and cover your mouth.
Coming up next, what are the four things the Cardinals need to do to succeed in prime time? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.